Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, folks. We are attempting to get Dr. Joe Cantor on the line, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana, to get our COVID-19 Delta variant update. Obviously, new numbers coming out, 1,620, I think, hospitalizations is the number that is being released today, if I read that correctly. And we continue to have a number of challenges on this front. It was reported that today, and I'm not sure if it's happened yet or not, I've not seen any releases, that the Biden administration was going to have mandatory vaccine for a number of federal employees. They've done the Veterans Affairs Organization now. They're talking about frontline health officers. You're hearing that more and more. The EUA, excuse me, under the FDA, is to the approval of these vaccines. There's talk about modifying those as well to say that they could, in fact, be mandatory. So there's a number of fronts that folks are approaching this on. And we have Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana, joining us. Doc, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Newell. Good afternoon. It's nice to be back with you again.
Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure. I wish things were a little rosier, but it seems like we continue to go down a path that's getting uglier by the day.
No, that's exactly right. There's not a lot of roses right now. Well, I take that back. The one rose is that we have seen a dramatic increase in our vaccinations. We're understandably so. We're on pace over the past 2 weeks to quadruple the pace of our vaccinations. So that's encouraging. I think people are looking around and are rightfully getting very scared. Every other number is it's just terrifying, to be completely honest with you. We're now at 13.2% positivity. That's the highest number we've had since January. Our hospitals are incredibly full. You talk to hospital leaders and docs. A lot of hospitals are on diversion, which means that if you're at a smaller critical access hospital, you have a patient that's too sick for you, you can't care for it appropriately. They're not able to send the patient anywhere, not able to get the patient to a higher level of care. That's pretty terrifying. We have multiplied the number of hospitalized COVID patients by a factor of 6 over the past 4 weeks. 4 weeks ago, we were at 250, and now we're over 1,600. 1,600 hospitalized COVID patients is higher than our summer surge, our July and August surge a year ago. And what's scarier to me than that raw number is when you graph out where we're going with hospitalizations and cases, it's almost sheer vertical, and there's not yet any sign that it's slowing. That's what really scares me. There's a real dearth of accurate models with the Delta variant. Even the CDC is having a really hard time modeling it. No one really knows how to model it well, but it's a really uncomfortable place to be watching these numbers go up and not have any sense yet that they're about to turn. So it's disheartening and quite frankly shocking to be back in this situation. You know, after 16, 17 months of this, we thought it was over, but we were not so lucky. This is exactly where we find ourselves right now.
And I guess they're having a difficult time getting their hands around the modeling, because the researchers' best guess estimates at this point in time is that the Delta variant is 50% more contagious than the Alpha variant.
Yeah, at least. The viral loads in individuals who are infected with Delta are up to 1,000 times more than someone who's infected with Alpha or one of the previous variants. It's not clear how much that increases your infectiousness, whether it increases it double or more, that's not entirely clear. Delta's just different. It's just a much more aggressive strand than we've even seen before. And to complicate that, the transmission dynamics amongst people who are fully vaccinated are complex. What is clear, without a shred of doubt right now, is that if you're fully vaccinated, meaning you've had one dose of J&J or two doses of Pfizer or Moderna, you are very, very well protected right now against severe complications of Delta. Very, very well protected against hospitalization and death. And the very, very few times that doesn't hold up is when people are very, very old or have underlying conditions that are serious. But by and large, that holds. What is changing, or what we're learning more about, I should say, is people that are fully vaccinated still can transmit Delta. And that's new. That's different from Alpha. That's why you're seeing all these masking recommendations for people who are fully vaccinated, Louisiana, CDC, because those transmission dynamics are difficult. So that just adds to the complexity of how to model this. So, in the absence of knowing good models of when we're going to peak, how much more we have to go before we hit the top, we're looking at a very, very sharp increase and hospitals getting full and not knowing how much more is left before we turn the corner.
Are we saying that now that there's a likelihood or a possibility that we can a vaccinated individual can transmit without actually being infected?
A fully vaccinated individual, what we know for sure, a fully vaccinated individual with mild symptoms is probably at this point, if it's Delta, which it most likely is right now, it's probably just as likely to spread to someone else as someone who is not fully vaccinated and has mild symptoms.
Okay. But that person is infected. That person is infected, the one that's transmitting. Right. Okay. All right.
Right, yeah. We don't know yet if someone is asymptomatic positive with Delta, meaning they were test positive, but they have no symptoms. We don't know yet how likely they are to spread it.
Yeah. Folks, and you and I, just to chuckle about something, we talk about old conventional wisdom relative to this. That means it's about 6 months old in this world today.
Yeah.
That the risk of infection is typically the benchmark has been 15 minutes of close contact with an infected person. They're saying now that could be as little as 5 minutes with the Delta variant.
Potentially. Again, the data is just coming fast and furious with this. So we don't have great data. The other thing that seems to be the case is people that get exposed to Delta likely have a shorter incubation period, meaning if it would have taken 3 days to show symptoms before, now they might be showing symptoms within a day and a half. We're in this really uncomfortable position yet again, I have to say, where Louisiana, unfortunately, is the leading edge of this. We're the leading edge of the Delta. We are number one in the country for right now in new cases. We're the leading edge of the Delta surge. And so the data being collected now is being collected in Louisiana, which will inform recommendations for the benefit of the rest of the country, probably when we, are past that point of needing them. So that's where we find ourselves.
Doc, I've never asked you this question, and I almost feel bad not. But, this country now is really split into vaccinated and unvaccinated. And for you guys and ladies that are on the front line of healthcare, you're basically living in the unvaccinated world.
Yeah.
I mean, because, if they say 95% of those with the Delta variant are unvaccinated, you're living in the unvaccinated world. How does that work for you? And by the way, congratulations on the birth of your second child. That's got to be even harder, for a young physician starting their family, living in this unvaccinated world, multiple variants where, we're not even halfway through probably the Delta variant. We're already talking about the Lambda variant. What is that like? And for the benefit of the audience, and if you don't want to go there, that's fine. I've just always felt remiss not asking you that question.
Yeah, I'll gladly go there. You know that.
You've never said no to me yet. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the congratulations. We gave birth about a week and a half ago to a very healthy baby boy. Levi is his name. Yeah, he's doing great. Mom is doing great. And our 2-year-old daughter is slowly adjusting and working through her emotions.
Yeah. So, she's not ruling a roost anymore, is she?
Exactly, exactly. So all that's going well. So we appreciate their well wishes. You know, I draw a distinction in my mind between people who are caught up in the misinformation or have doubts or just haven't done it yet, between those individuals and people who know better, people who are spreading this garbage. I draw a big distinction. I mean, we care in the hospital for people who, I'll just be frank, make poor choices all the time. You know, driving a motorcycle without a helmet. I mean, all types of poor choices.
And, the list is extensive.
This is extensive. I can tell you offline. You know, sometimes that care puts the care providers in jeopardy, and it could be exposure to blood before you have the chance to screen the patient. In the ER, we do procedures before we have a chance to really protect ourselves if the patient's dying. So those type of things I don't fault individuals for. And as we've talked about, you know, everything with COVID has been so fast and so confusing. And I don't place 1 ounce of blame on someone who's caught in the middle of that. That said, people who know better, people who are being opportunists with this, people who are looking at how confusing this is and searching for a political angle to see doubt, to benefit them, knowing that it's going to have consequences. I cannot excuse that. And I think about myself and I think about my colleagues in the ER, and they're putting my colleagues at risk by knowingly spreading this garbage. And to me, that's just inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like an alternative universe. There. And I mean, we all take it for granted. But as I read more and I see and I'm seeing what's happening now, I was talking to some healthcare professionals just yesterday, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-olds that are being presented. And I also understand that we're having a real difficulty once these patients with Delta go on a respirator, getting them off.
Yeah, I mean, getting them off.
And that's not good. I mean, that's not good at all.
Yeah, it's shocking how different the dynamics of Delta have been, and I don't think very many people expected this. I think people expected it would be more aggressive, but not this aggressive. It really is shocking. And I just got off of a call with folks from across the country, and you know, one of the messages that I told them is, look, you're just as vulnerable. And you know, granted, Louisiana is in the bottom five right now for vaccinations, and we're not proud of that. But there's a whole lot of states. There's 20 or 25 states that are just a few percentage points above that. And that's not protective. I mean, if it's happening here, a few percentage points difference is not going to protect it from happening in another part of the country. And I think other states are going to be realizing that very quickly.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, I, not to add more drama to this, but we're just 30 days away from the flu season, 35, 40 days away. You know, for the beginning of that, I mean, which just exacerbates this issue yet again. We've been fortunate last year. It wasn't a big issue, and but we don't know this year.
Yeah. We don't know. We're probably in for a bad flu season. We certainly were in for this crazy RSV season. We've never seen RSV. RSV is another, it's a common respiratory virus that kids get, but they usually get it in the late fall and the winter months. We've never seen this much RSV this early in the year. In fact, to illustrate that, the one of the therapies, it's an IV therapy that's given for RSV-positive patients who are very sick in the ICU, you typically you're not even allowed to give that unless it's during the winter months. We had to make special requests to waive those requirements. So I think you're right. We're at a lot of risk going in. Hospitals are already stretched. We've talked about the real severe nursing shortages that hospitals are facing now. So you know, I think what we got to do is, you know, you got to ask ourselves as a community, what is important to us right now? You know, and I'll throw out the things that I think are important to, you know, to me and I think the community would agree. Getting kids back in school in person safely, That's important. Keeping as many businesses open as possible, keeping the economy open as much as possible, that's important, and not having undue suffering. All is important. The only way right now we're going to get there, you know, is if people are okay masking in public spaces, indoors, increased vaccinations. There's the only way we're going to get there. We have no chance of getting there if we don't do those things.
And, you know, as I look at this, and this is a numbers game, so of the folks eligible under the rules right now, the FDA for vaccines, there are, what, about 80 million unvaccinated Americans today? Is that about right, somewhere in that
neighborhood? Yeah, that's about right, Can we
affect change really without making large sectors of this population mandatory?
Yeah, that's the question. We'll see. I really don't know the answer. I mean, I think what we're going to see is more and more employers make that call because it's good business for them. I mean, surely, as it relates specifically to vaccines, we'll see more employers make that call once full approval happens, which can't come soon enough. But employers can't have all their employees out sick. It's not good business. I think we'll see more of that, and I think the tide will turn. And we have these requirements for other vaccines, so it's not something new or novel. I do think that moves, but I think what seems to be moving it more, the needle, just in terms of vaccines, is people looking around now and being terrified. I mean, the fourfold increase in 2 weeks is pretty dramatic. And, you know, I bet you every one of those people that got their first shot these past 2 weeks wished now they had done that 5 weeks ago.
And, you know, is there... Well, let's do this. I didn't realize we had already gotten this late. It's already this late already. When we come back, I want to talk about, is there some talk about rewriting the EUAs, the emergency use authorizations under the FDA, to try and accomplish some of this in moving forward? So many folks are saying, well, just because we've got this emergency authorization, you know, that we're kind of stuck. And get your thoughts there. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana. Stay with us, folks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back with Dr. Joe Cantor, state health officer for the state of Louisiana. Doc, I guess we are somewhere around 50% or so of Americans that have had both doses of the vaccine. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's pretty close to what it is. 49% of the U.S. general population has had both doses. 57% has initiated.
So getting back to the question that I was asking before, it seems to me if we're going to move the needle between now, end of July, and November, where they say that'll be the tail of the spike or the surge, you know, short of mandated vaccinations, I just, the numbers aren't adding up of of enough people voluntarily being vaccinated. And I only bring that up because so many people are fighting this mask mandate issue right now that I'm trying to back into why that is. And they're attacking, you know, folks for saying, well, why would the vaccinated folks wear it? And this is why, because when you look at the numbers, the only way that you can actually protect all of the unvaccinated people is for everybody to wear the mask.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And again, I think some of these lines of thought might have carried more water in the pre-Delta environment, but Delta's different. And, you know, just seeing still it's relatively small, but we are seeing transmission, you know, of people who are fully vaccinated to other people. Again, those fully vaccinated people don't tend to get that sick, which is a godsend, but we're still seeing the transmission. That's why, you know, the universal masking recommendations, if your area is surging, which Louisiana is, are really what's needed right now. You know, in terms of vaccination mandates, you know, most of these policies, they're actually not mandates. Not, I think, the best word for it, because it's usually a set of choices. It's a safety policy, and what a lot of employers are doing, and it sounds like this is what the federal government's going to announce, if they haven't already today, for federal employees, at least they're hinting that, is that you know, they're putting out a safety protocol, and employees have a choice. They can either get vaccinated or they can test for COVID weekly as a way to protect other employees and protect public that come in contact with them. It's not exactly a mandate, because you don't have to do it if you don't want to yet, but then you have to get tested to make sure that you're not putting other people at risk. I really think, I mean,
and there is a distinction, and I'm glad you made that, because there is.
That's a bold move from the feds have got to be the biggest employer in the country, I would imagine. I think you're going to see a lot more employers make sensible policies like that, and I think they're going to have broad exemptions for people that still don't want to get vaccinated, but those exemptions are going to ensure everyone else's safety, like testing or requiring other mitigation measures. But you're right. I'm worried that we don't move the needle fast enough. I really am, because we're going to be vulnerable to these types of surges really until we get enough vaccination coverage. And no one knows exactly what that number is, but, you know, we're going to be watching Vermont very closely during this Delta surge, because Vermont's at 80%. And, you know, I would have to imagine that that's enough, but we'll be watching them very quickly. To the masking issue, look, I mean, it is what it is. Nobody wants to mask, you know, no one likes it. I don't like it. But we're in a really bad surge right now, and the only way we're going to get through this without just completely jeopardizing the availability of medical care for everyone, the only way we're going to get through it right now is if we make some hard choices. And I think of all the hard choices available, masking is probably the most palatable, because it doesn't really confer a direct economic impact. I would rather mask than shut down. I would rather mask than go back to 50%. Masking is the easiest thing of a list of things that nobody really wants to do.
Yeah. I wanted to talk briefly about the emergency use authorization. Obviously, the Department of Justice lawyer issued an opinion the other day saying that, you know, making mandatory vaccines as a prerequisite to job and things of that nature is authorized. But it would be a lot clearer if the FDA, under the EUA, and allegedly they have the authority to do so, is to just come right out and say that it is. Is that something that you're hearing being talked about?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard that been talked about. I don't know of any conversations within the FDA that fall along those lines. The more common conversation I hear now is how much longer until full approval, and I think it's getting close. The FDA has put up a heck of a firewall. I'll tell you, they're not saying anything about where they are in this process. And I think part of that is a blowback to the perception that things got politicized under the prior administration. And this FDA is putting up a complete firewall. So they're not telling anyone how much longer it is until they expect to issue full approval. I think a lot of these questions kind of probably go away, you know, whether or not they're legally sound or not. And there's a lot of reason to say that they really, you know, legally it probably doesn't matter if it's EUA or full approval. At least that's what most of the courts who have weighed in, the court that ruled on the Houston hospital and the federal court that ruled on Indiana University's vaccine requirements, both ruled that there really isn't a distinction. But again, that's going to continue to be challenged. There certainly is a perception. You know, certainly it's going to be more palatable to people once it gets fully approved. And again, we keep hearing, you know, offline, we keep hearing probably within another month or two, but formally the FDA refuses to really hint at that. I have heard conversations of tweaking the EUA language as it pertains to booster shots. And, you know, right now you can't give a booster shot because the EUA doesn't allow it. If you give a drug that's on EUA, you have to give it strictly by that criteria. So if and when there does become a recommendation to give booster shots, the FDA is going to have to find a way, if they haven't fully approved it by then, they're going to have to find a way to loosen up that EUA to allow for it. That's more of the conversation I've heard recently.
Yeah, I mean, especially if that, in light of, I think the CDC is now saying that the Delta variant has surged to 83% of sequenced COVID-19 cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, yeah. that falls in the category of prevalent. Right.
It's certainly prevalent. And we've been at that mark here for about 2 or 3 weeks now. So it's you know, when you go out there, now, look, there's a ton of COVID out there now, and it's almost all Delta. So I think to that point, we're realizing that things have to move quickly in this Delta world because it's a, you know, I mean, parts of this surge are very similar to where we were before, but it's almost a new. It's not a new virus, but we've not seen anything this aggressive before. So we got to be making sure we're not getting bogged down in red tape and everything else.
So when we talk about variants, additional variants, we're now focusing on Lambda. Let's come at it from the reverse side.
Mm-hmm.
How much does the unvaccinated population contribute to the development of the next variant?
I think directly, and it relates to how much transmission is happening out there. So as you and I have talked many times, these variants are a natural phenomenon, and any time a virus replicates, or really any cell in your body, to be honest, there's minor mutations that happen randomly by chance. This is, in a broad sense, this is how natural selection happens, this is how evolution happens, and all those things. And almost always, 99.9% of the time, these mutations are just irrelevant, you know, meaningless. And they don't continue on, you know, in nature. They just end because, you know, it happens once or twice, and then that's it. Every now and then with viruses, you have a mutation that actually is substantial. It ends up changing the transmission dynamics. It makes it more virulent, more dangerous. That's what happens with these variants. That's how a variant emerged. It's these random mutations that end up, by luck of chance, becoming significant and changing the real dynamics. The challenge is it's just really hard to predict. You know, you can look at the genetic code of a new variant, and you could try and postulate how that's going to affect the population, how it's going to be more transmissible or less transmissible, but you really don't know. And I think that's why a lot of people got variant fatigue. We had Alpha, which was formerly known as the UK variant. We had the one from South Africa, the one from Brazil, P1. I mean, you know, and you really don't know how it's going to act until it really gets out there in the population. And it takes off sometimes or sometimes it doesn't. But you got to be ready for it. I think that's where the fatigue came in. We tried to get ready. Didn't want to, you know, scare people too much, but we did want people to be ready for it. And some of these were a dud. But every now and then, one like Delta comes around, and it's certainly not. There's going to continue to be these variants in the future. And I think it's going to be really hard to predict which ones are going to be the real devastating ones until you're in it. So to that point, the less transmission that's happening out there, the less opportunity for new variants. If there's 1,000 cases a new day in Louisiana, that's a lot of opportunity for new variants. If there's only 20 cases a new day, that's not a lot of opportunity for new variants. So as vaccination goes up, the general transmission goes down, and the opportunity for new variants goes down.
Yeah. We got to get to a break. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Cantor, state health officer for the state of Louisiana, talking about the challenges of dealing with the Delta variant. We'll be right back, folks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with Dr. Joe Cantor, state health officer. Doc, let's dispense, if you don't mind, with some urban myths. The more I read about them, the more they're driving me crazy. There's one floating around now that the vaccine is actually caused the Delta variant.
Yeah, that's a myth. I'd have heard that, but that would drive me crazy too. It doesn't. These variants emerge naturally just by random mutations, and every now and then one takes off and ends up causing a lot of problems. The vaccine doesn't cause a variant. The vaccine doesn't cause COVID. You know, there were some types of vaccines used decades ago that contained a live virus, a partially killed live virus. Polio is an example of one of those types. These COVID vaccines are not that. There is no whole or live virus in here, so it's impossible to actually get COVID itself from the vaccine. Although your vaccine causes an immune response and you might get a little fever or feel like you're getting sick for a couple of days. That's just your immune response working. But you can't actually get the virus from it. What does worry me, you know, what does make me really nervous is that at some point in the future, we might have a variant that's not a good match for the vaccine. As bad as it is with Delta now, we're still comforted that the three vaccines remain a good match for Delta, particularly with the chance of you getting really sick or dying from it. And there's no guarantee that with a future variant that's the case. So doesn't cause Delta, doesn't cause COVID, remains a good match for Delta, even though we're in a heck of a surge right now.
We have a number of physicians out there that specialize in naturopathic medicine that are saying the best way to combat COVID, and in particular the Delta variant, are vitamins. In fact, one doctor specifically says vitamin D. High dosages of vitamin D will fight back the COVID-19 Delta variant.
Well, we kind of hear this a lot with particularly vitamin D with all types of ailments. And it's generally true if someone is actually vitamin D deficient. Bringing their vitamin D levels up to par does increase their general health. It makes their immune system stronger, brings them up to par of where they should be. But many more people think they're vitamin D deficient than really are. Most people have adequate normal levels of vitamin D. I think taking a daily vitamin supplement is probably never a bad idea. Taking a whole fistful of them every day might get you into trouble, but taking an over-the-counter vitamin supplement for the vast majority of people is not a big deal. You can always talk to your doctor about it, but that's fine. It's not going to hurt you, but let's be clear, that's not going to fight off Delta. That's not going to fight off COVID. That's not going to do that.
Well, anytime that you have an identified vitamin deficiency, that would almost be near qualify of a comorbidity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, vitamin deficiencies, most of them, once diagnosed, once identified, are pretty easy to treat. Most of the time you can supplement your way through it. But again, there has been no evidence at all that taking your vitamin levels from a normal level to a super therapeutic level, to higher than they normally are, there's been no evidence that confers any benefit to anyone.
Another myth that's out there is that, not you individually, but you meaning physicians on the front line, are opposed to any therapeutics to be utilized in the treatment of this disease.
No, couldn't it be farther from the truth? Physicians are clamoring for more therapeutics. One of the allures of hydroxychloroquine when it started getting a lot of, mention, this is taking back to the really early days of the pandemic, a lot of physicians really wanted to, bought into it initially, really wanted to believe it because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a good treatment. It ended up not being that, but physicians are really clamoring for a good treatment. We don't have a great treatment. We've got we have a handful of meh treatments. We have a handful of treatments that move your chance of surviving a bad, a critical illness by percentage points. Steroids is one of them. The medicine remdesivir is one of them. These aren't medicines, but these are treatments, ways of positioning, doing proning in the ICU, which means putting the patient upside down on their belly while they're on the ventilator, which is complex, is one. Certain types of ventilation, what settings you dial into the ventilators. In other words, all of these provide marginal benefit when done in the right context. But we don't have a silver bullet. We don't have an antibiotic that you give someone and it goes and kills the COVID. We really, really wish we did. I tell you, docs and nurses, they don't want to be working as hard. They would rather be home with their families.
That's why I bring it up. I know there's been a lot of chatter around ivermectin.
Right.
What's the deal there?
The deal is that I think there's maybe some theoretical basis that it could work, but it's not panned out in the data yet. There's been a couple small studies that have made it. Maybe it helps a little bit, maybe it doesn't. There's been larger studies that say it really doesn't. And so what doctors are saying, that they're not going to, you know, they don't give a medicine like this until there's data that shows it works, because the creed is to first do no harm. And all these medicines have side effects, particularly the doses that people are suggesting people get of ivermectin, which are crazy, crazy high doses. So I think people, you know, we need to draw a line between what doctors and nurses want versus what they're obligated to do. They want a silver bullet treatment. They are obligated to follow the science, do no harm, and do what's best interest of the patient.
I think back to when the hydroxychloroquine came out, and I really think the media bungled that massively. And it was definitely a politically driven dialogue, because it was almost as though hydroxychloroquine was poison. And, you know, it's used, I know, in the treatment of lupus and some other diseases very successfully. I have many friends who have been on it for years and have really been life changers for them with the particular affliction that they have. And it was always kind of curious that, you know, right away we kind of characterize this as something that it wasn't.
Yeah, you know, I think like everything earlier on, it was really politicized. We had a lot of hospitals here that were using hydroxychloroquine early on when there were these suggestions that maybe it worked, and people, you know, this was March and April, people were just dying left and right. And you know, they were using it because maybe it worked. Once the data came in, once it became clear that it confers absolutely no benefit, you know, there are no more hospitals are using it. But you're right, the conversation around it was pretty loaded, you know, almost from day one.
I was wanted to get your reaction to this. I thought it was a little premature on Ms. Walensky's part, Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director, kind of not embracing, but maybe, I don't know, pulling close this European-style access passes for the vaccinated. And that she made the comment that that may be a path forward. That put a lot of people on edge.
Yeah, you know, I think some states and cities are probably going to try it. There's been you know, a handful of music venues in New Orleans, the Patinas and Maple Leaf and DBA, that sound like they're going to be doing that. And I think it's their prerogative to do so. I think in other parts of the country, you might see a city do it or something like that. And, you know, we'll see how the experience goes. I think there's pros and cons to that. We'll have to see how it works out.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be working out very well in France at the present time.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see. Doc, as always, I still got half my research available, so I'll just hold it for next Thursday because I'm sure it'll still be relevant. By that point in time, we always enjoy having you on, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And once again, congratulations on the birth of your second child. I hope you're getting some sleep.
Thanks, Noel. Appreciate it. I'm trying. And then one more message to your listeners: please, please, mask and distance the next few weeks. It's going to be another challenging week here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great weekend. Folks, we will be right back after the break. We are back, and Scoot is up next, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Hey, we'll talk about the alternative rock festival, Lollapalooza. It reopens this year. It's the 30th year of Lollapalooza. It has been in New Orleans a couple of times. We'll talk about that. There are some new requirements because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and not everybody's going to like these new rules, but I think it's kind of a thing of the future. Also, a country pop singer and songwriter, Jesse James Decker, took to Instagram, and she complained about people body shaming her. You know, she's really a cute woman, and she's gained a few pounds, and people are bashing her because she's fat. And she says, if you don't like me, just leave me alone. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? If people don't like you, they still want to criticize you. And so there's got to be a reason for that. We'll talk about that. And also, you know, I think we have to pay tribute to Ron Popeil, the guy who invented basically the infomercial and so many things like Mr. Microphone, the Showtime rotisserie, and the Pocket
Fisherman.
I
had Microphone, and I had the Pocket Fisherman.
Did you? Now, did you? Yeah. I mean, I tell you, the rotisserie, the Showtime rotisserie, it looked really good. I mean, I've never purchased anything from an infomercial because I'm always afraid that it's going to look better on TV than it does when it arrives.
It did, but it worked.
Oh, yeah. You got the Showtime rotisserie?
Yeah. Caught some fish with the Pocket Fisherman, too.
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
That is really interesting. Very quickly, I know you were a swimmer. When you watch the swimming competition at the Olympics, what stands out in your mind as a former swimmer?
I just love the level of competition, the heart. I mean, just going after it. I mean, they put it all out there. And, you know, first place to eighth place is separated by less than a second in some of these races, which is absolutely phenomenal.
All right. Have a good afternoon.
All right. Same to you. He's got a great show lined up. Stay tuned for Scoot. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We will see you guys again tomorrow on No Filter Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.